Well, this morning we're going to be talking about Acts. We're continuing our series on Empowered Together, and I get the privilege of speaking on Acts 5. And it's been a fun journey to study this chapter and think about what happened to Ananias and Sapphira and what that means for us. And so I want to dive in with you on that this morning. One of the first things I want to talk about, though, is the previous chapter in Acts 4, where we learn about Barnabas and how Barnabas is this. His name means son of encouragement, and it's a beautiful name, and he really represents that throughout the stories you hear about him. But one of the reasons that he's a son of encouragement is you learn in Acts 4 that he sells some property, and then he takes all the proceeds from the property and gives it to the church, so the church can use it however they need to use it. And I know that there's people in this room that have done similar things, where they've used proceeds from things that they've sold or proceeds from their life, and they've given it to this church, and it's made a huge impact. And we're grateful for folks that have done that. And there's people in this room that have been tithing and giving to this church in various ways for years and years, and recently as well, and we're super grateful for that. I'm going to be talking a little bit about tithing, and that's not the point of the message, but I'm going to talk about it a little bit from a different angle. But the beauty of what Barnabas did is he did it from a righteous heart. He did it from a place of trusting God with the finances of that, giving it over to the church. And then we have a contrast when we get to Acts 5 and we learn about Ananias and Sapphira's intentions. And so we're going to dive into that in a moment here. But first, I want to talk about the 10%. And if we're talking about money in the church, we're talking about being generous as people in the church, 10% is often the number that comes to mind. And this message is not about tithing. This message isn't about you giving 10% of your income, though there's conversations around that that's what the church is, what people are asked to do in the church, and there's debate about that. I just know that Scripture, God asks us to give with a cheerful heart and without compulsion. And so this morning, though, I want to talk about the 10% from a little bit of a different angle. So, of course, God wants us to give cheerfully. He wants us to give of our money from a place of intentionality and a place of love and trust of Him. But there's another 10% as it relates to our time. And I've thought about how if you take the amount of time that you're awake in a given day, it's approximately 16 hours. If you're lucky to get 8 hours of sleep in a day, then you're awake for 16 hours. And if you take 10% of that time, it's approximately an hour and a half. And a long time ago, I was thinking about, what if tithing also has to do with giving of my time to God? And if do I give an hour and a half of every day to God, just strictly, truly devoted to God? Maybe this is devotional time. Maybe this is worship time, prayerful time. I don't know. Do I actually give 10% of my day to God? And so I want you to think about that a little bit. And obviously, God wants our whole entire lives. He wants 100% of our time. But you can make it real practical by just thinking about, am I genuinely and intentionally giving 10%? And then you think about the talent that we have in our lives. God has blessed us with skills, abilities, and specific talents. And I thought about, do I give 10% of my talent to God in a given day? Am I truly dedicating 10% of my talent to God? I don't know. I hope so. I'm trying to. But ultimately, God wants all of us. He wants all of our talent, all of our time, and all of our treasure to be dedicated to Him. And that's the focus of my message this morning. Not 10% of that, but all of it, fully and completely dedicated to Him. And that plays out in a lot of different ways for all of us. The way that you give of your time, your talent, and treasure to God is going to be different than the way I do. And God will lead you and guide you in that. But I want to talk a little bit about what happened with Ananias and Sapphira, and that they didn't honor God with their treasure in the way that God would have us. And so my core message for you this morning is God has empowered us to be generous with our time, talent, and treasure. And He has blessed you with an amazing, amazing talents in your life. And you get to build on those and grow in those. And He's blessed you with whatever amount of treasure that you have. And He's blessed all of us with the equal amount of time to give to Him, to honor Him with. But I struggle with this. I don't know if you struggle as well with this, but I struggle to give my time, talent, and treasure to God. Life is expensive, so it's kind of hard to go, God, here's 10%, or here's whatever amount that God is putting on your heart to give to him. It's hard to do that when you think about the expenses of life, and you think about our world is getting more and more expensive. It's not getting less expensive. And as you have kids, or if you have other things happening in your life, life gets more expensive. So it's hard to give of that treasure to him. Life is busy. I get preoccupied. I get busy. I want to do things. And sometimes I forget that God is in the midst of that. And so I allow those things to consume my time. And I get busy instead of get busy doing those things with God. And then, of course, I think about, man, I have a job that's about 50 hours a week. And I need to give my attention and talents to work. I need to give it to that context. And that's true. But God can use me in that context as well. But these are the battles that I have with my time, talent, and treasure. Does anybody else identify with these in any way? Raise your hand if there's, I see nods for sure. Yeah, it can be frustrating. But we're going to work through how to overcome this. I'm going to share some scriptures with you, how to overcome it. We're going to talk about the contrast of what Ananias and Sapphira did versus what the apostles did. And some scripture that will help you to know that you are and will be empowered. And then you all got that little price tag when you walked in, and we're going to touch on that towards the very end, because you know me, I love exercises, I love illustrations that make you think and require a little bit of action from you. So expect to be a little bit challenged with that later in the message. All right, so let's get into the scripture. The scripture that we're looking through is Acts 5, 1 to 16, and we're going to start with the first four verses here. It says, now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. So it says also, because we just learned about Barnabas and him selling the property, and he sells it from a different perspective. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you have received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And then after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied just to human beings, but to God. Pretty harsh. Pretty harsh message to this man. I've had someone share to me this harshly before, and it was a wonderful thing. They shared the truth in a very harsh way, and it convicted me and it moved my heart. Now, unfortunately, Ananias didn't have much of a chance to change his heart because he had already set his heart about this, set his heart, and he and his wife had set their hearts towards these things, towards keeping some of the money. So then we read further. Oh, I'm sorry. One of the things that really stands out to me about this passage is how it says, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you have received for the land? They had been plotting this for a long time, right? Ananias and Sapphira had been thinking about this and decided together to keep some of the money and lie about it. I don't know exactly what their intentions were. I don't know why they were holding back some of their treasure, but they were. And the point here isn't that if you sell something that you have to give it all to the church, because it's very clear that we don't need to do that. We can do whatever it is that God puts on our heart to do with the money. But Satan was on their heart instead, and they were, I would think that they're being a little greedy here, probably a little prideful. And after seeing Barnabas sell the property, and he may have gotten some attention for it, they wanted that attention too. So their ego is in the way. And as a result, they make a really, really poor decision. And there's huge consequences for that. But how do we prevent this, right? How do we prevent our own mindsets from getting to the place where we're making poor choices like they did? What does Scripture say to do to avoid this? And that's our Philippians 4, 8 verse. This is a fantastic and beautiful verse that fundamentally can shift your mind and shift your life when this is what we focus on. It says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Do we think that Ananias and Sapphira were thinking about true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable things before they made this decision? Do we think that that was their focus? Of course not. What's amazing is this is transformational when we focus our thoughts in this way. Truly transformational in our lives. And it's pretty simple too. We know what things are true. We know what things are noble. We know what things are right. And if we're maybe slightly confused on that, we can seek other people out to help us to understand those things. And out of the thoughts in our mind come the actions, comes what happens in our heart. And then we can take actions that honor God and that allow us to honor him through our time, talent, and treasure. But they didn't do this. And there was extreme consequences for this. So then we read on, it says, when Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. So when he heard Peter telling him that you lied to the Holy Spirit, he falls down and dies. And great fear seized all who heard what had happened. Then some young men came forward, wrapped his body, and carried him out and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got the land for the land? Yes, she said, this is the price. Another lie. So Ananias falls down and dies as soon as he's found out. This is really severe. Okay? Like, this is really severe. Raise your hand if you've ever told a lie. Okay? Right? I am so glad I have not been smitten because I told a lie. Or smited or smote, whatever, however you say it, right? What's that? Yeah. But I think the reason this happened is this is the very beginning of the church, right? Of the body of Christ being a church, of Christianity existing. And we see the church where it seems like it's perfect, where the people are gathering together, they're praying together all the time, mountains are practically moving, rooms are shaking, people's lives are being transformed, thousands of people are being saved. Whatever it is that the apostles say, people hear it and God moves in people's hearts and people are saved, people are healed. It's amazing things happening. People are giving of their properties like Barnabas did so that it can benefit the whole entire church. It's a beautiful example of what God wants the church to be. And then Ananias and Sapphira come in here and screw it up. And God, I don't know, so this is me speculating, but I think God is making a point, a very strong point here, because God hates sin. It's easy to lose track of that because we know his grace so well. We know he forgives us. We know we're forgiven. We know we're saved because of his grace, because of his son. But God hates sin. And he's making a strong point here by going, don't do this, church. Don't do this. Don't lie to me. And he kills them. And what happens as a result? It says, and great fear seized all who heard what had happened. Not just saw it, but heard it. So fear here is the Greek word phobos, which has multiple meanings, and it encompasses more than just being scared. Yes, it is fear in that sense that we know, but it all is also awe. It is also reverence. As a result of what God did, the people of this church, the very beginnings of this church, which is, I think it's around 60 days since Jesus' resurrection. God is saying, I want you to reverence me and be in awe of me and remember what I did for you and that your sins matter. And I died for those sins and I still hate the sins if they happen. And there's a huge contrast here too. Barnabas giving freely from his heart, from an intention to honor God, and Ananias and Sapphira giving from a place of seeking attention from others. Serving God versus serving the world. He's making a big deal about this. And it's true today too for us. That God hates the sin in our lives, and he wants us to give of our time, talent, and treasure to him and only for him. So that 10% that I shared in the beginning, he doesn't want 10%. He wants 100%, and that's really hard. But that's what he wants from us. And as we continue, I want to share with you how to get there. So Peter said to her, how could you conspire to test the Spirit of the Lord? Listen, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also. At that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. Then the young men came in, and finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events. Right, God is making a point. He's making a very, very strong point. So what about us? I shared a little bit of what my struggles are. What are our excuses for the misuse of our time, talent, and treasure? So this is what I wrote. We are all busy. We have so many excuses and reasons for not speaking up, not offering prayer, not giving to the church or giving more to the church, not helping out in some way, not reaching out, not forgiving. We all have selfish motives and give in to sin. We can be committed to what the world has to offer and its rewards and not God. I'm sorry, but it's true. It's true. That's true for me and to some degree for all of you. And I'm not here to beat you up, just to point out the reality that this is a real struggle. And we have so many reasons to not give of our time, talent, and treasure to God. It's easy to find those reasons and to give in to them. And the hardest part for me when I was writing this was the last part. We can be committed to what the world has to offer and its rewards and not God. And it's true. It's true. It's easy to fall into focusing my talent on the job, focusing my money on the things that I want to enjoy, right? Focusing my time on selfish things like scrolling YouTube. I was just talking to Carrie yesterday about this. I said, Carrie, I'm tired of wasting so much time. I laid on the couch last night from like 8 o'clock till 9:30 with my practically drooling out of my mouth, just scrolling stupid videos on YouTube. I think that's a misuse of my time. I think so. And then I'm like, well, at least I don't look at social media. Who cares? It's still a misuse of my time. Here's the thing. But God. When I was writing this, I was like, man, what do I say at this point? And I thought, you know what? But God. But God is in that, and God can help me through it, and God can rescue me from the misuse of my time, from the misuse of my talent, the misuse of my treasure. He can pull me out of it, and he will and does do that for all of you. Because he has empowered us to be generous with our time, talent, and treasure. And this morning, instead of laying on the couch again, looking at my tablet and scrolling YouTube, because it's a dang addiction in my life, I went outside and I sat on the porch and I prayed and I read the word. And then my middle kiddo, Haley, got up and then we sat on the porch and chatted for 45 minutes. That is giving of my time, talent, and treasure to God, right? That was beautiful. And that was so rewarding. Went for a bike ride, like I said. There's just this wonderful experience. And I think that made God smile. So, no, I wasn't preaching to somebody this morning. You know, I wasn't sharing the gospel with somebody this morning. But I don't think that's what God wants from us all the time. Right? It's these little things that we're doing, that these little nuances of our lives that God cares about and they matter to him. The use of those, that time, talent, and treasure. So when we give of ourselves in that way, it's an act of love, worship, and trust. And this quote, it's a quote really at the bottom. It says, you won't miss what you intentionally give away. I didn't come up with that, so I can't take credit for it. But I think that is so true. When we give our money intentionally away to the church or to some cause that God is blessing, you don't miss it. You're just grateful that you had the opportunity to give it. When you give your time to somebody to help them in a situation, to go sit and have coffee with somebody or to help them with some sort of a need that they have, when you think back on that day and how maybe you could have done something different, you don't miss the time at all. You're kind of grateful that you got to give that time to that person and spend that time with that person. And of course, when you give your talent to the things that God wants you to give your talent to, you definitely don't miss that. We read about the parable of the talents. God blesses that in huge ways. I know the talents there is talking about money, but I think we can extrapolate out that when we honor God by building our own abilities through him, that he blesses that too. So how do we do this? Sitting there, I'm going, man, this is a big ask to give of ourselves generously of our time, talent, and treasure to God. How in the world do we do that? Well, I found three verses just as an encouragement to you. Acts 1:8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So how do we do this? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how we give of our time, talent, and treasure to him. Philippians 4:13 says, "I can do all things through him who strengthens me." That's how we do it. This morning, I deleted YouTube from my phone. It's a big deal. It's truly a big deal. God gave me that strength. And it sounds kind of funny, like all I did was hold the button for a little bit and then clicked another button and it's deleted. But I'm addicted to that. And God helped me break of it. I broke myself from YouTube in March and it was great. And then I went back in April and May. And I just want to be done with it. And I'm sure there's other things in your lives that you're holding back, that you haven't fully surrendered to God. And I know there's bunches of other things in my life that I haven't fully surrendered to God. And the only way that I can fully surrender those things to God is through the Holy Spirit, because I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Then Joshua 1:9 says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." If I'm fully giving myself my time, talent, and treasure to God, I need him, man. I need him. I need his courage, and I need him to be strong for me, because the things that he's going to ask me and you to do, man, they're going to be scary. If you think back a year ago and the things that you have done this year, and you just think about how God has challenged you and pushed you, I imagine if you were to look at those, you go, wow, God has really given me strength. He has really empowered me. He has really given me the courage to pursue those things. And if you knew what you were going to do this next 12 months, you might be terrified about what God's going to do through you because you are surrendering your time, talent, and treasure to him. Fortunately, he's with you through it all. So what I want to ask is, what does a life empowered by God to freely give of your time, talent, and treasure look like? So we read about it in the apostles, and it says, "The apostles performed many signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. As a result, people brought the sick into the street and laid them on beds and mats, so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by impure spirits, and all of them were healed." All of them were healed. This is such a huge contrast. You have Ananias and Sapphira living their lives to selfishly get gain from the lie that they told, to be focused on what they want, to focus on what the world could give them. And then you learn about Barnabas and you learn about the apostles. And what happens when they're surrendering themselves to God? Amazing things. Absolutely amazing things. I mean, we could talk about the shadow part, but what I think is amazing is that when you give of your time to God, you end up experiencing him in these amazing ways. When you spend time in prayer with God, he speaks to you and he touches your heart in ways that are unbelievable. They're just amazing. When you give of your talent to him, he takes you to places you never thought were even possible. The things that I'm getting to do in the business world are amazing. Being up here is amazing. 7 years ago, I was terrified to sit in a room at a table with seven people to tell them about my business. Terrified. I would be sweating, I would be shaking, and my voice would be quavering, and my heart would be beating like crazy. I was terrified just to sit at a table in a networking situation. But then God tugged on my heart to be able to speak, and then he tugged on my heart to share messages. And now I'm up here and I enjoy this. I'm still a little bit nervous, but I enjoy it. God will multiply your talents in an amazing way when you surrender it to him. And I think we all know of the times in which we've given of our money to him. And then it turns around on us and you're like, where did this come from? How did this check show up out of nowhere? How is it that we still have money in savings? How is it that all of a sudden this money is available to us and it just came out of nowhere? There's so many stories in our lives. There's small stories and there's enormous stories of that happening. The home that Carrie and I live in is such an enormous blessing. We sold a house in Ferndale and then moved into this house for sale by owner, and basically it was a swap price-wise. And the house is much bigger, the neighborhood is way better, and now we're in Linden instead of Ferndale. Nothing against Ferndale by any means. But it's such a better situation. We didn't do that. Her parents just happened to have, she just happens to have relatives that are in the same neighborhood who just happened to find out that this house was for sale by owner, who just happened to tell us because we happened to be living in her parents' house at the time. And this guy, he had a certain dollar amount that he wanted to sell the house for, and it all played out perfectly. And we got a great mortgage rate. It's just remarkable what can happen. God, his timing is amazing. Like there's, I had another point that I wanted to share. Oh, that's right. Yesterday, there's a handyman over at our house doing work on our house because we had a police car hit our deck and messed up our deck. And then as a result, we found out that our roof was tilting 4 inches because there was no support in the right corner of our porch, which was supporting the roof of our house. And it was a godsend, again, you know, God blessing us, showing us that your roof is going to fall down if you don't take care of this. So long story short, we actually got money from the city because the police hit our house. And so now the city is paying to fix our roof, essentially, which is good, which is great. Because we don't really have $20,000 to fix the roof or $15,000 to fix the roof to just throw out there. But the time, it worked out, right? So anyway, Nick is his name, and we were talking, and we kind of knew each other from a different circumstance, and he mountain bikes, and I mountain bike, and he talks about going mountain biking with another friend of ours every Wednesday, and I'm like, well, I can't do that, but I can go on Saturdays, and he's like, well, let's go this Saturday. I said, yeah, let's go this Saturday. So we go mountain biking yesterday, have a great time. I don't get hurt, which is great. Nobody got hurt. Did some scary things that were a lot of fun. And on the way back, he asked me, what am I doing this weekend? Ha ha, great. I get to tell him what I'm doing this weekend. So I shared the sermon in 3 minutes with him. So he got to hear the gospel. Whether he wanted to or not, he was trapped in his own truck, and he had to hear the gospel. He was cool with it. So he told me a little bit about his story, Catholic upbringing, and then did some Young Life, and then fell away. And then he started bringing up aliens, and we started talking about spiritual things and all this stuff. But I got to share the gospel with him and speak about how what God wants with us is a relationship with us. Because he didn't like the religion of Catholicism. He didn't like the religion of the way everything was playing out as he was growing up. And I said, are you good at relationships? Do you like relationships? And he didn't quite understand the question at first, so I asked it in a different way. And ultimately he said, yes, he likes relationships. And I said, that's what God wants with you. He just wants a relationship with you. It's not about religion. It's not about duties. He wants a relationship with you. And he's married and has a couple kids and a third on the way. And I said, do you love your wife? Of course, right? Of course he loves his wife. And would you say you're more in love with your wife today than you were when you first met her? He's like, yeah. I said, that's what it is to have a relationship with Jesus. You fall more and more in love with him every single day. And he's always loved you the same no matter how you are with him. He's always loved you the same. I don't know where that's going to go. I don't know what's going to happen to his heart because I shared that message with him, but it came from my heart, and it was me surrendering. I don't know if it was my time, my talent, or my treasure, but it was me surrendering to God and saying, God, you can use me in this moment, and asking for the opportunity to be used in that moment. And so I'm excited because I'm going to get to see him again. We're likely going to go mountain biking together Saturdays periodically, and so I'm going to keep on poking. I'm going to keep on poking at that. And be open to that. But we all have things that we hold back. There's many times where there's been opportunities for me to share something with someone else, or for me to give more of myself to God, or to surrender an addiction to God, or to surrender who knows what to God. And what I want you to do right now is to consider what it is that you're holding back from God. Ananias and Sapphira held back from God. They lied and they held back. I'm not accusing you of being a liar, okay? But I know I'm holding back certain things from God. And there's a price to pay for that when we hold back from God. And they paid the ultimate price, right? So you've probably already read this, but write one thing on the tag you're holding back from God. It could be money, it could be a secret habit, it could be resentment, a part of your life that you've labeled that maybe you think you've already given it to him, but you're still holding back. So I want everyone to go ahead and grab your tag, and there should be pens in front of you. And then write down on that tag the thing that you want to surrender to God. That maybe it's only just a tiny bit not surrendered. Maybe it's something very big that this is a big surrender. But just think about the time. Maybe there's things in your life, there's time in your life that you haven't surrendered to God. Maybe there's a talent that you have that you haven't fully given over to God. Or maybe it's treasure that you haven't fully surrendered. But I want you to write that down. So now I want to give you a chance to, once you've written it down, I want to give you a chance to take action. And that is, once you've written it down, you can put it in this basket. Okay? I'm not going to read them. Nobody's going to read them. I'm going to get them shredded or burned or get rid of them. No one's going to look at them, okay? Just so you know. And you don't need to write your name on it either. But I want you to write it down. And by writing it down, you're in faith saying, God, I'm putting this down and giving it to you. I don't want to pay the price anymore for this. I don't want to pay the price of disconnecting myself from you. I don't want to pay the price that is not being fully surrendered to you. I want to give this fully over to you. I want you to write that down and come up here and drop it in the basket. And if you want to receive prayer about this thing that you're surrendering to God, I'm going to have the prayer team come up, which I think there's just two of us today. But I would like you to come up, and then if you would like prayer for that, then I can pray for you, or Dale Marie can pray for you. And of course, an even simpler step is to ask God, how do you want me to use the time, talent, and treasure that you have given me? Just simply ask God that question and quietly listen for his response. So two things. Bring up the price tag and drop it in here. And then take a moment after you do that, go back to your seat and ask the question that's up on the projector. How does God want to use the time and talent and treasure he's given to you? Father, it is difficult to recognize and to surrender the things that we are holding on to. It's difficult to give fully of ourselves, of our time, talent, and treasure to you. But I pray that you would give the people in this room courage to write those things down and to come up and place it and surrender it to you. Put it in this basket and surrender those things to you. I thank you, God, that you are with us in all of this. I thank you that you want us to give ourselves fully and completely to you, and you've empowered us to do that. I thank you for everybody in this church and the generosity, because I've seen amazing generosity. I've seen amazing talents being shared at this church. I've seen an amazing amount of time of people here. And I know that people have given their treasure here. It's a beautiful body of Christ that's done amazing things here. And we're grateful for that. In Jesus' name, amen.